Today we're going to be talking about a subject that is often touched upon. In fact, during this last Feast of Tabernacles, Mr. Michael Link spoke on this subject. And then just last week, Mr. Eric Rink touched upon it also. But he left it alone, so I'm going to take the opportunity now to talk about bearing good fruit. And throughout the New Testament, this concept of people bearing good fruit is used multiple times and in many different contexts. But first, I would like to bring to our attention that the presence of God's Spirit in our minds, or the lack thereof, is the sole determining factor in determining whether we are really Christians. If you'll turn over to Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 and in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if you continue to read this entire chapter of Romans 8, it talks about the necessity for us to be either living a life of sin or a life of overcoming sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is important for us to understand then just how the Holy Spirit is to be manifested in our lives and how we are to grow the attributes of good fruit. And we can see if we turn to Matthew 7 that Christ told his followers that we would be able to know who true Christians are by their fruits and by their works. Matthew 7 and verse 16, we'll read to verse 20. Matthew 7 and verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So what then is expected of us? You turn to John 15. John 15, and we'll begin in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we can see how Christ characterized himself, his Father, and also his followers, which is you and I today. In verse 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Last week we heard Mr. Rank's sermon on glory. And one of the main purposes then for us to grow fruit, as it states here, is so that our lives can glorify God. Verse 16, Matthew John 15 and verse 16, Christ goes on and he states, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you." And it's not good enough for us to seek after God wholeheartedly one day, and then the next day, when things go wrong, to stop bearing good fruits. We have to come to the point where we are led by the Holy Spirit so that we can become Christ's. Romans 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So then the question that we have to answer is this: what will God's Spirit lead and guide us to do? What spiritual fruit or results does the Holy Spirit produce in those who are striving to do the will of God? Now, fruit is classified as the edible, usable portion of a plant or a vine. Christ then is the vine, and if we are his begotten children, then we are the branches. Our fruit is what we produce as Christians, and it is fruit that is usable to Jesus Christ for whatever purpose he and the Father see fit. We see then that it is our duty to produce this fruit, but there is more to it. The good fruit, or works that we produce, doesn't come from us, but rather it comes from our vine, that is Christ. The vine then determines what fruit should be brought forth. We've just read this. An apple tree produces apples, a fig tree produces figs, and so on and so forth. And this analogy is used multiple times in the New Testament. And so we can see that it is Christ who determines what kind of fruit we should bear as Christians. The fruit then is a result of having the mind of Christ at work in us as made possible by the Spirit of God. This leads us then to Paul's famous letter to the Galatians. In Galatians chapters 5 and verse 22 and verse 23, we find the fruit which the Holy Spirit produces or should produce in a Christian: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the Holy Spirit imparts to us these traits of God's character. If we find that we are lacking these characteristics, then we need to look carefully and see if we are producing any of the opposite fruits, known as the works of the flesh, which can be found just before verses 22 and verse 23. Some of these include strife, division, and various objectionable states of mind. All the works of the flesh contribute to the general misery and unhappiness of most of humanity today. And this is because these fruits are completely unsatisfying and unfulfilling. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is meant for the purpose of helping people to learn to live in peace and harmony, both with his neighbor and with God. We don't actually want to go into the fruits of the Spirit like we just read, but continue on and see how we can implement the growing of this fruit in our lives. When we receive God's Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism, we don't instantaneously become perfect and bear amazing fruits. It takes time for us to grow them, and it takes continuous, painstaking labor. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 states, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." A fruit upon a real tree doesn't appear overnight. It takes time, water, nutrients in the soil, and sunlight to grow. And so the same is for us. It takes time for us to grow spiritually and to manifest these fruits of the Spirit. God is gracious towards us, and he gives us time to make mistakes, to learn from them, and to keep moving forward with the talents he has given us. If you turn to 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. We'll read to verse 12. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But as the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So we see that God wants us to grow our fruits, and he has given us the time to do so. But he cannot, and he will not, wait forever. The time will come when we will be out of time, which is why Paul cautions us in verse 11 to be in holy conduct and godliness at all times, because there will come a time when this earth will be no more. And we will, if we continue to do this, if we continue to grow our fruits, be able to see our promise as it is found in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So we start down this path of possessing the wonderful fruits imparted by the Holy Spirit by repenting, becoming baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But once we become or start to become spiritually minded, we can only then start to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our daily lives. If we merely have the Holy Spirit as the gettle, but don't use it daily, then we will not grow our fruit. And we can find an example of people not growing their fruit in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 3, and beginning in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So we can see that there were members in the church, the time of Corinth, that were spiritual members of the body of Christ. But they were not at that time showing the fruit of God's Spirit. Verse chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul continues, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So we can see that these people in the church were acting like people in the world. They were conducting themselves in some of the very same things that Paul listed in Galatians as the works of the flesh. So what was the problem? Now, since they were converted members of the church, why were they producing these unspiritual fleshly works? We turn to 2 Timothy 1. And beginning in verse 6, we find an answer. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So one explanation for these people of Corinth is that they had lost sight of the fact that the power of the Holy Spirit must be put to use. It must be used and drawn upon to produce its fruit. The fact is that they were doing what came to them naturally. They were producing the works of the flesh. And this happened because they were not stirring up the Spirit of Christ and drawing upon it to produce the results of the mind of Christ. If you turn to Philippians 1 and verse 9. Philippians 1 and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. A second plausible reason that some were acting carnal was because they lacked a supply of the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 7 and verse 37. Here Christ is speaking. And on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So we see that the Holy Spirit cannot become and should not be stagnant. It is described many times throughout the Bible as water flowing in and out of us. And the Holy Spirit should be active and dynamic in our lives. It is not something that we can bottle up and keep inside of us. A good example of this can be found in Luke 12 and verse 18. And Christ here is speaking a parable to his disciples. And then he spoke a parable to them, saying, verse 16, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no more room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This man was rich, and he exalted himself because of the fruits of his hand, but in the end, he was destroyed because his fruit wasn't useful any longer. He wasn't using it for the betterment of himself or others. He wanted to keep it bottled up in a giant barn for himself. So Christ compares the Holy Spirit, as we said, to living water. It comes into us and then must flow out from us in good works and fruits, i.e. love, joy, peace, obedience, etc. And it can be compared also to an electrical current circuit. It comes from God into us and then out from us as the fruits of the Spirit and then back to God, creating a complete circuit. An incredible thought if you wrap your mind around it. It is the only way through which we can learn to become more and more perfect. We must be renewed daily through our continual daily contact with God. Now, if we refuse to make it our goal to be consistently evaluating how we are growing our fruits, then we run the danger of becoming like dead trees. If you turn to Matthew 3, in verse 8, John the Baptist was talking to the Pharisees. Matthew 3 and verse 8. And he says, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." We can also see the dangers of only looking to our own fleshly desires rather than using the Holy Spirit to create good fruit, as spelled out in Jude 12. Turn to Jude 12, the book right before Revelation. Jude 12. "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without the fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots." Verse 15. "To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Verse 19, these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save from fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." These warnings and these admonitions are here for our own good. We have but to heed what God has spelled out for us in black and white, and the handwriting is on the wall, as the saying goes. There is no wrong time for us to produce good fruit. If we find ourselves not producing good fruit, or producing it in small quantities, then we need to zero in on God and make him our number one priority. And we can only produce this fruit if we are continually looking to God for our strength and our guidance. For our last scripture, if you'll turn to Colossians 1, and in verse 6. Colossians 1, and verse 6. "Which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth." Verse 9. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Wish you all a fruitful rest of your Sabbath.